Grace and mercy and peace be to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from the gospel reading that we read earlier. We hear this word once again. And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." This is our text for today. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. That's worth some serious thought. To illustrate this truth, this warning, Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool. The rich man's land has produced bountifully, plentifully, so much so that he doesn't have enough room to store all of his crops. And so he decides to tear down his barns and build bigger ones so that he can store more grain and goods. And then he gives some of the silliest speeches ever recorded in scriptures. He says to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." After all, isn't that what the soul is all about? Hardly. God has the final word in the parable, saying to the rich man, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" See, there's nothing wrong with relaxing, eating, drinking, and merriment in themselves. But these are helpful treatments for the body and the mind, but not the soul. The rich man expects his riches to take care of his soul, at least for many years to come. But saving souls is the work of God. And that's the rich man's problem. As soon as he has declared that his possessions will take care of his soul, he's made them into a false god. When God requires his soul that night in the parable, the relaxing, the eating and drinking and merriment do nothing for him on the day of judgment. So the rich man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. They cannot prevent his death. And when he dies, he can't take them with him. They just go on to somebody else, if moth and rust don't corrupt them first. The parable is a clear warning. Beware of the sin of greed. Obsession with possessions is a terrible temptation. It leads you to value things over people. It leads you to put your trust in things that fall apart and pass away. It tempts you to resent God if you don't have the things that you want. And it seduces you to believe that your soul is good in God's eyes because you have enough things. Greed is a dangerous idol. And like lust, it's never satisfied. The more you have, the more you want. It always requires that you make more sacrifices in order to pursue more gain. You don't even have to have the things to be guilty of the sin. While the rich man in the parable already has all sorts of wealth, Jesus tells the parable because of a man who isn't wealthy yet. This whole lesson begins with somebody in the crowd who said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's a family squabble with an inheritance to be shared. People bring such requests to rabbis all the time. But this teacher, Jesus, declines the request. Although as God he provides all things, Jesus isn't there to divide out the family farm. He hasn't come for such temporal things. Why has he come? To do what goods and grain, what relaxing and eating and drinking and merriment cannot do. He has come to save their souls for eternity. And if their souls, then also their bodies. And so he warns the crowd against covetousness, against desiring things that they don't have. It's a close cousin to greed, and with coveting comes a host of sins. Like greed, among these sins is the willingness to pursue things at the expense of others. Two of the Ten Commandments warn us that coveting is the opposite of love, wishing harm upon your neighbor. And worse, though, it's discontent. Covetousness says, what I have now isn't enough. I should have more. I want more. God has messed up in only giving me what I have. The one who sins by coveting seems even sillier than the rich fool in the parable. At least the rich man said, I trust in what I have to take care of my soul. But the one who covets says, I trust in what I don't have to take care of my soul. So Jesus warns, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness. And then he adds, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Beware, because greed and covetousness will tempt you every day. You'll always be tempted to want more, to worry about what you don't have, to resent those who have more than you do. It doesn't matter how much you have or don't have. It's all quite relative. You may not be extravagantly wealthy, but you're far from the slums of Kenya or Mumbai. The Lord has blessed us with immense prosperity here where we live. But no matter how much wealth you have or don't have, you'll still be tempted by greed and by covetousness. You'll be tempted to believe that as long as you have enough of what you want, then life is good and your soul is taken care of. But your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. We should expand that too, because you'll covet and be greedy for more than grains and goods. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your popularity. That's one of the devil's great attacks on young people, on our youth. In the in crowd will set a standard, and if you're conformed to it, then you're in the crowd too. Or at least you're trying to be in the crowd. And if you covet the approval of the popular crowd, then you'll be tempted to at least give your approval to disobedience and immorality. You'll put your faith on the back burner of your life because God's word isn't that popular with the in crowd. But popularity can't do anything for your soul. On the last day, what is in now will definitely be out, way out. Outer darkness, out. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your looks or your fashion sense. There's nothing wrong with looking good, but our society wants you to find your worth in how you look. And that's a losing game, isn't it? Because age comes upon all of us, and clothing goes out of style even faster. But that's not your life either. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your health. Our culture is quick to make gods out of athletics and athletes, out of health and nutrition. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of those, but you'll be tempted to believe that you are only truly alive when you're disease-free or injury-free, or cellulose free, or whatever it might be. That also is a losing proposition because time and chance happen to all of us. If health becomes a god, then you lose all because your life does not consist in the abundance of your health. Your life does not consist in the abundance of the knowledge that you've accrued, or the peace within your family, or the goals that you've attained, or the promotions you've received, or the items that you've crossed off your bucket list. But you're tempted to covet all of those things, to believe that they are what gives you life, and to believe that they are good for your soul. But none of these things give life to your soul. So flee these temptations and repent when you give in to them. All of these things are false gods when you put your trust in them. And putting your trust in them reveals even more about you than greed or covetousness. It reveals that you really don't understand life or soul. It reveals that you do not love and trust in God above all things, as you should. While all of these things we've mentioned are blessings that can make your life happier, none of them can give you life. All of these things are meaningless vanity and passing away. And more importantly, none of these things can give life to your soul. That's why Jesus warns, take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, because life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Now, all of this is true, but please note, we've answered all of this according to the law. The law says to guard against all covetousness because it's a sin. Because it's a sin to believe that your life does consist in the abundance of your possessions. However, there's some very good news to be found here. If your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions, then of what does your life consist? You see, there's another very good reason to repent of making your life about the abundance of possessions or other things that will pass away, and that is because the Lord gives you so much more than that. He gives you gifts that do not pass away. He gives you life that does not pass away. This is what the cross of Jesus is all about. Jesus became flesh and went to the cross for you. He died for your sins, including the sins of greed and covetousness and every evil desire. He died your death for you, so that you might not go the way all things of the world which pass away. He rose again to give you life, eternal life in heaven. He has made you a child of God in holy baptism so that now you're an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but my words will not pass away. All things in this world will crumble to dust, but not his holy word. Jesus' words include, I forgive you all your sins. They include, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They include, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. These words will never pass away, and he speaks them to you. And so you will never pass away. The kingdom of heaven is yours by his grace. In other words, he gives you hope. With forgiveness comes hope. Greed and covetousness are sins of the hopeless. If you have no faith in God who will raise you from the dead, then this life is all there is. And if this life is all there is, then the best you can do in this life is grab as much as you can and hold on as long as you can. That's a life of quiet desperation. Maybe not so quiet. The things of this world are easy to lose, and they're hard to regain. And eventually, all things pass away. Now, you still have the prospect of death hanging around, but you also have hope in Christ. Where you worry about what you do not have, you consider the lilies of the field and the sparrows of the air, knowing how much the Lord cares for them, because you know that Jesus didn't become a lily in order to redeem lilies, or a sparrow in order to redeem sparrows. He became a man to redeem you. And if he redeemed you at the cost of his own blood, he will not fail to give you forgiveness and eternal life. Because these things are so easy to lose and hard to regain, you're tempted to love things too much, to hoard things out of greed rather than to use them in service to others. But that's the life of those with no hope, and that's not for you. The Lord sets you free from such greed, gives you a kingdom that will not pass away, where the things of this world that you treasure are damaged or lost. You know that they were gifts of God for a little while. They're not your whole life. Where you have an opportunity to help a neighbor or care for those in need or support the proclamation of the gospel, you don't clutch to keep all that you have to yourself, because you know that the things that you have are gifts of God to be used in service to others. And you can't take it with you anyway. So you have hope. And you have hope because your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. You have much greater abundance than that. Your life consists of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your life consists of his life because he's joined you to his death and resurrection so that you would live forever. Your life does not consist in things that pass away, but of Christ who keeps you for eternity. So Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You'll always be tempted to hear him as a killjoy who, as he warns you against love for the things of this world. But ultimately his message is this: he has better things to give, eternal things. Your life isn't the sum total of your possessions. The Lord is your life and your salvation. Hopelessness is not for you, but eternal life is, because Jesus pours out abundantly the riches of his grace so that you are forgiven all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.